there was an empty grave, Jesus was in the tomb today, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? We got hope because of that resurrection. Thank the Lord for it. Just before the message, I have something special for you today. I want to call them the Gista girls all the time, but it's Angie and Jackie. They're going to come and share with you just before the message.
We're going to ask for y'all's prayers while we're out here because both of us are
sick,
all congested and everything. So y'all pray for us that we can do this.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious while leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can't see a way, he makes a way.
He makes a way.
Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say.
About this Jesus, how many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music. Amen. To tell the story of all the Savior's done.
Amen. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can't see a way, he makes a way.
Get a spark going, your wood's wet. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the thing that he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me. He's been a lot more faithful to the promise he didn't even make me. He's been faithful. Praise the Lord that I just want to share a prayer he answered for me, but I'm ashamed to in a way that I let my tires get in so bad of shape on my truck and I didn't even think I was going to make it from John City to Jonesboro to get some tires. And as I started out before I left, I said, Lord, this please help me make it. I said, this help me make it there. And went down the road, and boy, it got worse and worse, and I got to praying harder. And I got down right before I got to where I was going. I opened the door and looked. I was going real slow on the side. And, man, it was bad. And big knot, and it's a pumping. And I said, Lord, just please help me to get there. I'm honest. I pulled in the parking lot, and a guy come out to look at it with me, and the tire started going down. And by the time they got the truck in, it was flat by the time they got it in to put in. And I told the guy there Thursday, and I said, I literally drove in on a prayer today. And again, I'm ashamed to say that I let get in that kind of shape, but he answered my prayers. He took care of me, and it was important enough to him to get me and answer my prayer. And he didn't have to do it. I could have been up alongside the road and in a mess, but praise the Lord, isn't he good? And I thank him for it. And I wanted to publicly thank him, but I was kind of embarrassed on top of it. And I've heard it said, don't never buy a vehicle that a preacher owns. Amen. Anybody have anything on your heart this morning? Has the Lord laid a song on your heart or in a testimony? That's the girls. Let's give the Lord a hand. Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that touch? If you have your Bibles and want to going to be in the book of Acts chapter 19 most of the time, but I want to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But then we'll go, if you would turn with me, 1 Corinthians, but we'll be most of the message in the book of Acts. These goes together, and First Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. If you find your way, if you would, stand with me. Everybody's found your place, say amen. Amen. But I will tarry at Ephesus. Let me go to 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul is now at Ephesus preaching the gospel. This is now in here in chapter 19 of Acts, where we are right in this area, is he has written a letter to the Corinthians. This is when he wrote the 1 Corinthians, the letter, and sent it to them to encourage them. And this is now, at the time as he's writing his letter, he's talking about in Acts chapter 19 that he said that the Lord, for a great door and effectual, is opened unto me. This morning I want to preach to you a message about a great door open. Great doors. We're going to talk about several doors this morning. But great doors that's been opened, and great doors that's opened unto us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you, Father, for that song. We kind of remember the day of the week that we got saved on. I thank you for that Monday night and that revival service that you spoke to my heart, and Lord, that I came up and nailed it down, and Father, I've not been the same since, and I thank you for that wonderful day. I thank you for that door that was opened unto me, that opportunity that I had to call upon you and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me a new creature. And Lord, we thank you for the door that's open today. And Lord, we thank you for all the doors across the world that's opened in this period of grace. And Father, we pray now and ask you that you would just bless and lead and guide. Father, have your way. Touch the old preacher boy. Lord, I pray for the anointing. Pray for a double portion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, Paul's on his third missionary journey. He is here at Ephesus. And writing to Corinthians, but want to share some. This was a populous city. And if you know, notice and remember it in the study that we've been doing, that a lot of conversions of some great men, and God been doing some wonderful and marvelous things. And as we see here, the first thing that I look at this morning and I see was as the door of salvation was opened. The period of grace, and God has just got the door open, and I tell you today, that door's still open. You may say, preacher, we're all saved. Every one of us stood up this morning, and we're saved. But I tell you what, if we are saved this morning on the way to heaven, that just gives us something to praise the Lord for and praise the Lord about, that I don't have to go to hell today. And I tell you that ought to get us excited that there's been a door opened for us and another way, and that we can go into glory and heaven will be our home. In Acts 19, verse 17 through 20, the Bible said, and this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks. Paul had, before this, had done some the great things, and evil spirits had come out of these, this, and it leaped on them, and they did it, tried to do it in Jesus' name, but didn't have the goods. And he said, and this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them which also used curious arts,
brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, it was a door that was open. There's a door of entrance. If you look in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, or chapter 7, verse 16, talking about the ark, and he said, and they went in, male and female, and all flesh, and God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. There was a time when the ark was being built, the door was open. That was the period of grace in the days of Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and him, the eight souls came in, and he spared two of every kind. And that door was open, and we're in that period today that door is still open. Boy, I tell you, we ought to praise the Lord for that day. We ought to praise the Lord for the day we got saved. But I'll preach here in a minute for another point. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be excited and doing something about it today. That door is still open. Why don't we praise the Lord? Well, other than being saved, we ought to praise the Lord. The opportunity is still there for our loved ones that ain't got in yet. We ought to praise the Lord for the opportunity to our neighbors that hadn't got there yet. That person down the street that don't know the Lord that you just take the world of. See, these folks are going to drop off into hell one day without Jesus. And it's going to be people we think the world of. It sort of stir us up today. This door is still open. Matthew 25:10 and the parable of the 10 virgins. Bible said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. See, that's going to be a sad time. The door can be shut when our lives are over. And the door be shut when Jesus comes back and calls us home. In Colossians 4:3, Paul's writing, and he said, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. A door of utterance, also the word. Ain't you glad for the Word of God today? It's still here. It's still the best-selling book. It's still the best thing we've got. It's the best thing you've got as a believer. Your most prized possession you own is your Bible and mine. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad we still got it? Glory. He said, may the door of utterance, may it be the word, the spoken word, the preached word, the read word. There's not a book that you'll ever pick up that's got the power that this book's got. It's got the power to change a human life. Not to make you feel better about yourself, not to help you lose weight, not to help you look a little better. I mean make you a different person. Glory, hallelujah. There ain't another book that you'll ever pick up and read that can change you like the Word of God. And guess what? We still got it. Praise the Lord. And I'll go another step further. It'll never pass away. Thy word forever is settled in heaven, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Glory, hallelujah. In 19 verse 20 there, that it said, so mightily grew the word of God. That door of utterance had been opened. People was learning and understanding and being saved by the word of God. We're in that day today. That door's still open. Don't give up on your loved ones. Those unspoken requests, keep speaking them. Those requests that you have, pray for my lost loved ones. Don't let up. Everywhere you go, say, pray for my brother. Pray for my sister. Pray for my loved one, my child or spouse or whatever the case may be. I remember when I first got in and got under teaching, and man, I was on fire for the Lord. I don't care where I went. I said, pray for my brother. Pray for my brother. I was being meetings. Pray for my missionaries. I had a missionary come to our church one night. Before we left, we was back on the back pew praying for my brother. He was down in Puerto Rico praying for my brother. Folks in Brazil praying for my brother. Ron and I had a rough time when we wasn't there at Sunday morning, but there's one Sunday morning he walked the aisle, Brother Jim. He walked the aisle and gave his life to the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. That door's still open. Don't give up yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. See, but there's coming a day when God's going to shut the door. Genesis 6:3 says, but my spirit will not always strive with man. Hosea 4:17 says, Ephraim, God spoke to the prophet and said, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. That's sad. Let him alone. There's come a time when people don't believe and they snub their nose in the air and they turn their back on God and grieve the Holy Spirit. Won't accept there's going to be a time where God will say, I'm done. He'll quit drawing. That's why it's important if you're in a service and God moves there anywhere and God moves on your heart and stirs your heart. You may be saved. It may be something that you got to take care of. It's important that we're obedient to the leading of the Spirit. He'll not always strive with us. There'll be a day He'll turn us over to what it is that we want. If you don't believe me, read Romans 1. Turn them over. Reprobate mind. See, we're in the days of grace. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. See, God was moving mightily in Ephesus at this time, and Paul stepped up to the plate. Paul stepped up and allowed God to use him. He saw the door. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said, I want to come to you so bad I can't stand it. But boy, there's been a door opened up here, and I'm going through it. Glory, hallelujah. I'm going through that door. I'm going to take care of the advantage that God's given me right now and the opportunity. Not only do we see the door of salvation, I see the door of service or of sacrifice. In verse 8 through 10 in chapter 19. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed of them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all which in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. In verse 21 and 22, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must be also in Rome, must also see Rome. And he sent into Macedonia. 2 of them ministered into Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. See, Paul had an obligation to the gospel. This is the door of obligation, not only door of service, it's a door of obligation. You might say, preacher, you're the preacher, I'm not obligated. Oh, yes, you are. I hate to be the one to have to tell you, but you are. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses. Not you can be, or you might be. Ye shall be witnesses of me in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We are under the obligation, the gospel obligation, Matthew 28, 18, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, teaching all things whatsoever I commanded thee. So we are obligated to preach the word of God. You might say, I'm not a preacher, ain't been called. Preaching the gospel is just telling the good tidings of great news. You know what? The woman at the well, just for instance, John chapter 4. She got saved. She believed on Christ right there. He said, woman, thou's had five husbands. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. He said, we're going to take you back to Jerusalem and teach you how to be a witness. No, that ain't what he said, was it? She ran to the nearest town and said, come see a man that told me what everything I'd done. She'd been a believer just a few minutes, but she did enough, knowed enough to tell what God had done for her. Boy, I tell you, what your personal testimony will carry a lot of weight. What God's done for you will carry a lot of weight. God answers a prayer when you're around your co-workers. Hey, boy, glory, hallelujah. The Lord answered a prayer for me this week. See, what they're looking for is something different. They don't want the same old. They're tired of that. They want something that's got meat on it. See, while this door is open, we have got to take advantage of it. We got to work while it's day because the night cometh. See, now I'm getting a lot closer than I was a few years ago. Well, a few years ago, I thought, Brother Richard, I got all kinds of time. That door's starting to shut on me. I can't kick near as high as I could 10 years ago. My days are starting to get shorter already, Brother Jim. While we've got the opportunity, we got to walk through these doors and do something for the Lord. Allow Him to take advantage of it. See, there's a prospect door. It's a door of eternity. Who is it? I had a guy, we used to have a guy come, Keith Kenimer came to Limestone. And he said, how many are you running in Sunday school? Whatever it was, I told him. He said, no, that's how many you're catching. He said, how many are you running? He said, you're catching 200. I said, well, we're probably running 600 then. He said, that's exactly what you're probably be three times what you're catching. How many are we running? We're catching several, but who's your prospect? Who have you got in mind? Who is it that you're praying for day and night? Who is it you wake up, God wakes you up in the middle of the night and you wake up praying for that one? Who is it you shudder at the thought to send them closed into hell for eternity? See, that's who we're chasing. Who are we chasing today? That's our prospects. See, these children downstairs that's down here learning patch of pint and wearing hats and them badges, some people might say that's goofy. I tell you what, that's some good training. Amen. That's prospects. That's a good work. Amen. We're meeting here and in Sunday school. They're in Sunday school and we go through the Sunday school class. Well, that I just meet together. And I'm telling you, some of the Bible verses and the things that I really sunk into me is what I learned in Sunday school. This us meeting together for fellowship and the things that we do. I tell you, this is getting a job done with things we're doing. We're going to hide Easter eggs. Well, preacher, that's goofy. It might be, but there'll be some children up there that don't normally come to church. And guess what? There's a parent going to bring them. Or a grandparent. There's an opportunity. There's a prospect. It's a prospect door that's open. Who's your prospects? Now, a week or so, if I ask you, how many are you running, I want you to tell me. How many are you running? See, as Paul was talking about this door, and you know, all these ancient days, there, the Circus Maximus was a big stadium in Rome. That it was 2,037 foot long, 387 foot wide. I've seen some figures bigger than that. Would sit between 150 to 300,000 people. And this was where the big oval, where they would have the chariot races. And Paul's imagery here, and a lot of folks think that he was talking about all of these folks in this stadium and the door opening for the chariots to come in. The opportunity, the excitement, the thrill. That was ancient NASCAR. A thunder! And those chariots are rumbling, and when those doors flew open, and that was the imagery that he was talking about probably, and thinking, that door's been opened. The excitement is getting ready to happen. The job, what they trained for, they're getting ready to bring it out. See, the training that God's puts us through, don't put us through it for nothing. And he's got a job, and when that door opens, we need to run through it as hard as we can, like we're in a race. But we need the mentality that Becca's got on winning a race. She come up with a game the other night, and Rhonda said, what's the object of this game? And she said, to win. And I'm not saying that we say put more notches in our Bible than anybody else, but it's an opportunity. And we've got the opportunity. We need to take advantage of it. I remember being at Limestone when I first started teaching CTS, and there's a man sat down here on the front row. I can see his face, but still can't think of his name. Beck Eastep. When I would come off and I'd come down, he'd say, boy, that's a good job, young man. He'd hug me and encourage me. And he said, my days is gone and I can't do it anymore, but I can pray for you. His door was shutting. He didn't live a lot longer after that. And it killed him that he couldn't get out and do the things that he used to do. I've yet to hear a man or a woman at the end of their life, or even hear of it, that said, boy, I wish I hadn't worked as hard for the Lord as I did. I wish I'd have eased up a little bit. Even Billy Graham said, I wish I'd have spoke less and prayed more. You know, when these things are opportunities that we have to take advantage of. The production door, and back there in 1 Corinthians, it said it was an effectual door. It was opened to Paul, not by Paul. See, this door's been opened to us. It's an opportunity. I'm afraid we take it as, I guess I better go over here and invite my neighbor's church. Amen. Hope that dog don't bite me. I've got a secret weapon when I go visiting with a biting dog. I take her on the hangout runner. I'm just kidding. I won't take time to tell you that whole story, but anyway. But the one that had the key of David is the one that opened this door. And Jesus Christ opens the door. There ain't no man can shut it. He's opened the door into us. Revelation 3:7-8 says, and to the angel of the church, in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. See, when he has got a door open for us today, and it's our opportunity to step through it. What are we doing in the area of witnessing? Are ye satisfied with where we are? See, time's getting to where it's already changed. Hasn't it? Time's changed. You got more daylight. Now would be a good time of the year to start walking in the evening, wouldn't it? Walk from house to house. Boy, we'd like to have a good crowd at Easter. Will ye come? We're inviting all of our folks. We're inviting all of our families. We're inviting all, and we're wanting to have a big day on Easter Sunday, and will ye come? Will you bring your kids to the Easter egg hunt? And while you get you a good mile in, how many visitors can you invite within a mile of your house? Now, some of us is out a little more, so we're not hardly. I don't know if Gary's got anybody within a mile of him, does he? Gary's might have to be 2 miles. See, but this Jesus that has opened the door is the same one that opened blinded eyes, same one that opened deaf ears, same one that opened Lazarus' grave, same one. If he can open the door, guess what? He can open a heart. And you might be the one to get to lead that one to the Lord. How long has it been since you've led somebody to the Lord? Since you've knelt down and prayed with somebody and they've asked Jesus into their heart? Or have you ever? I tell you what, that's the most exciting thing in this world. And you've prayed with somebody and you've had an influence and they have left from death unto life. Praise the Lord. I remember, I don't know why, this hit me. Hey, some of us guys working one day in a room, we didn't have a clue there's anybody hearing us around. It was 4 or 5 of us. We was talking about the Lord, talking about being saved, reading Scripture. Probably wasn't making the company a whole lot of money that day. And we was just talking about the things of the Lord. Well, this guy worked for another trade. Come around, had been over in the other room, heard everything we said, come through the door, tears running down his face. He said, and I heard what you all saying. Said, the Lord spoke to me, I need to be saved. We prayed with him right there, and he asked the Lord to come into his heart. That's been years ago, but that's how God works. See, if he can raise Lazarus from the dead, he can open a heart. And I want to encourage you today, and that's to 2 points. And boy, the best one, if you want to miss a service, did it tonight, because the best point's left. I'm not even going to tell you what the name of it is. But I want to encourage you, don't give up on those that don't know the Lord. Just when I was ready to give up on my brother, that's when the Lord come through. When I said it's history, it's done, all my prayers have been in vain. It was a turn of events I didn't like, but God worked through it. And it may be the hardest thing that you ever go through, to work and bring that loved one to the point of that that you're praying for. But don't give up. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the day the door of salvation. Father, it's been opened unto us, and it's open today, and we just praise you that that door's still open. Father, I pray that you'll help us take advantage of this door that's open and the door of service. Lord, that we'll be ever more encouraged to step up and take part of the activities of the church and the functions. And Lord, if it's the safety team, or if it's teaching a class, or if it's knocking on the doors, or it's sending a card, or it's calling somebody on the phone to encourage, or it's going and knocking on your neighbor's doors, or it's just on your face before God as an intercessory prayer. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to get a grip and understand and realize this door that's open, and that we'll take advantage of it. Father, we love you today and praise you and thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit I've felt here this morning. God, I thank you for saving my soul. Now, Lord, did I pray that whatever that you have laid on anyone's heart this morning, they'll respond and pray about that one maybe that needs you, or that thing, that the sin that so easily beset us. Lord, help us to get victory over our besetting sin so that we can run the race and not be bogged down, be stumbling by this little old nagging sin that keeps creeping up and getting in our lives and our hearts. Lord, help us today. And Father, just feel like the Holy Spirit just moved on me. I want you to say something about confessing our sins and getting sin out of our lives, living a holy life before our peers and our family. And God be with us. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you come this morning? Do you need to come?